Well, good morning. Go ahead and turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're in our series titled Be, and today, Be Encouraged. We could all use a little encouragement, right? You know, life can be disappointing. Promises broken, health fails, joy goes dry, marriages end, dreams are broken. But there is no such thing as a life without struggle. We all struggle. Life gives us many reasons and opportunities to get discouraged if we let it. But if you're a Christian, you have sufficient reason to never be without hope. And so you have every reason in the world to be encouraged. And I'm going to give you three reasons this morning. The first reason you have to be encouraged is this: you are experiencing the ultimate makeover. You see, that's good to know, because there's a law that's operating in our universe, and it's called the second law of thermodynamics, or entropy. And so it's important that we understand that in our system, things are going from high energy to low energy. Things are going from states of organization to states of disorganization. In other words, things are falling apart. And so no matter how hard you try to stay in shape, it's a losing battle. It really is. And so, you know, if you ever get the urge to exercise, just lay down until it goes away. Right? Just kidding on that one. You want to exercise, but here's the thing. Here's the reality. My body is perishing, and I can't stop it. And you can't stop it either. And so here's the good news. You see, within every Christian, there is this supernatural, renewable power that God puts in you when you are born again, when you become God's son or God's daughter. So if you're a Christian, underneath all your sin and dysfunction and insecurities and rebellion is a supernatural nature that is created and sustained by God alone. And so at the very core of your being is God's Holy Spirit, who is at work recreating you to be like Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, He says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And so Jesus, very early in his ministry, had told us that we would be receiving the Spirit. Those who believe in him would receive the Spirit of God. And this is important. And by the way, when you do I think it's good from time to time we do a study on what happens at conversion, because there's a lot of things that take place at conversion, and we don't always hit on those things. But let me give you three things real quick. Number one, God gives us a new identity. You see, God treats us as though we were already as perfect as Jesus Christ himself is perfect. That's the way God sees us, and that's the way that God treats us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So when you become a Christian, God imputes, he literally puts into your account the righteousness of Jesus. And that's how you stand before God, totally righteous. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also to the Greek." Notice, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." faith. And so when we obey the gospel of Jesus, God imputes to us the righteousness of Jesus. And that's the only way you can have a relationship with God. You have to be righteous. And through Christ, He makes us righteous. But secondly, God gives us a new nature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And so God is transforming us literally every single day. And if you will allow God to work in your life as He desires and wants to, He will transform you in an amazing way. And then number three, God gives us a new disposition. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so when you become a Christian, nobody has to coerce you to do God's will. You want to do God's will. That happens at the new birth when you're born again. God gives us this brand new disposition. And this disposition is, I want to serve God. I want to be obedient to Him. I want to be pleasing to Him. You see, your outer man is falling apart and you can't stop it. But your inner man, Paul says, is being renewed day by day. So though the outward man is perishing, growing old, getting feeble, that's not the case on the inside. On the inside, God is working and He's recreating and He's fashioning you into the image and the likeness of the Son of God. So God is literally doing a makeover in every one of our lives. And that is reason to be encouraged, right? But number two, your temporary troubles, Paul says, are preparing you for eternal glory. You see, everyone struggles with something. Everyone. You see, some appear to be the envy of others, but yet they struggle just like the next person. So, you know, you look at someone, you go, "Oh, I wish my life was like his," or "I wish my life was like hers." But if you only knew, you wouldn't. Because their life is full of struggles just as your life is full of struggles. And so your struggles, though, Paul says, are temporary. And so no matter how bad things get, it won't last forever. And so your struggles can be redeemed. And they are preparing you for something much better, Paul wants us to know. And God is, listen, God is not concerned with making you happy. God is concerned with making you good. God is concerned with making you righteous. And so He's interested in transforming your character. And so He will make you good in this life so that He can make you really, really happy in the life to come. You see, He selected you and He selected me to be just like Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, John says, "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And then in Philippians 3, 21, Paul says, "He will change our vile, corruptible body to be fashioned into the image of His glorious body." And so by God's word, He instructs us. He guides us in the way that we should go. And by His Spirit, He empowers us so that we can go in the direction that He guides us in. And so whatever God's will for your life is, the Holy Spirit in you will enable you to achieve that and do that for your life. So, through the Holy Spirit's help, we can lay aside the old man and we can incorporate the new man. And that's what we're told to do. Put off the old and put on the new. And so God gives us the instructions to do that. He gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to bring that about. Michelangelo was pushing a block of granite one day, and someone asked him, "Why are you pushing that block of granite?" And he responded, "There's an angel that's just wanting to come out," right? And so the same is true for you. You see, God uses your temporary struggles to produce a person that's waiting to come out of you, the image of Jesus. That's what God is up to. And for that reason, you have all the reason in the world to be encouraged. But number three today, you have powerful help that you cannot see. You see, our world is made up of things that we can't see, all kinds of stuff we cannot see. But also, it is true that there are things that we can't see that are just as real as the things we see. We can't smell them, taste them, feel them, touch them, yet they are real, absolutely real. In fact, God Himself is all around us, and God is in us. In chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, look at verse 16. He says, especially it's the middle part of verse 16, he says, "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said," notice, "I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And so God is with us. God is around us. There's never a time when God isn't near. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so God is present, and He's real. You can't feel it. You can't see it. You can't taste it. But it's real. He's with us. But beyond that, there are angels that are all around us too. God's angels. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 for just a moment. Hebrews 1, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. Or verse 14. Excuse me. Hebrews 1, verse 14. He says, and this is concerning angels. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will be heirs of salvation?" So God's angels are ministering to us. We don't see them. We don't hear them. We don't have any way of sensing them with our physical senses. But yet God tells us that His angels are ministering to us. What all they do, we don't know. We just know that they're there and they're doing God's bidding in our lives. In addition to that, Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, verse 7. Psalm 34, 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those and delivers them." And so God is with us, He's in our lives, He's around us, He's inside of us, His angels are ministering to us. Folks, we have so much to be encouraged about. And so we need to realize that there are things we cannot see, and they are working in our lives in powerful, powerful ways. And so you always have good reason to be encouraged. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you really have a good reason to be encouraged every single day of your lives, because so many good things are happening. You're experiencing the ultimate makeover. Your temporary troubles and trials, and I know they're hard when you go through them, but they're preparing you for eternal glory. That's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians here. And you have powerful help that you cannot see. God is there for you. His angels are there for us. And they and those angels are ministering in various ways in our lives. And so, brethren, you have all the reason in the world to be encouraged if you're in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, if you're discouraged, if you're down, if you're out, think about these truths. Think about what's happening in your life right now. God is doing an amazing thing. Focus on that. Don't get caught up in focusing on your struggles and your trials and the difficulties in life. Focus on the things that God is doing. It will encourage you. And maybe we have people in here who've never obeyed the gospel. You've never been born again. You've never experienced the new birth. And this is an amazing thing, because the Bible says, you know, we're sinners. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. As a result of our sin, we're dead. Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so mankind before God is dead, the Bible teaches. And so God, in love, sent his son Jesus Christ into the world. He died on the cross and paid the debt of our sin. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, it's what you earned. It's what you earned. The wages are what you earn. And the Bible says we earned death. And so God sent Christ into the world. He went to the cross and he paid the debt you owed and the debt I owed. And because he paid that debt, I can go free. And I can have a relationship with God and I can live with God forever and ever. And maybe you've never obeyed the gospel before. Well, I hope today we're going to sing a song. And during the singing of the song, we want to encourage you to respond, to come to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins so that God can work in your life in the amazing ways that Paul talks about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But whatever your needs are, make them known as we stand together and sing.